Welcome back to Beyond the Call, which is a video series launched by Veterans on Duty, where we sit down with military veterans and national security leaders and discuss issues related to American national security and keeping America safe, strong, and free. I'm Jeremy Hunt. I'm an Army veteran and also chairman of Veterans on Duty. And today, I'm very excited. We're going to be interviewing Congressman August Pfluger. And August is a great friend of mine. He's someone who served many years in the Air Force flying F-22s. So he's got some really neat stories flying in Iraq and Syria. And now he was recently elected as chair of the House Republican Study Committee. So in this episode, we're going to get into a little bit of policy, but also talk about some personal stories that the Congressman is going to share with us. I am so excited. Let's dive in. Congressman Pfluger, thank you so much for making time for us today. I'm so excited. It's always good to see you.
It's great to see you.
You've been a dear friend of Veterans on Duty and a dear friend of me for many years now. So I'm just thankful for you and thankful for your mentorship. I want to start by really sharing with the audience your story of service. You know, you're a 20-year Air Force veteran flying F-22s. Was that always your dream? How did that come about for you?
It was. I had a grandfather that was a pilot during World War II, and that inspired me to want to get in. And I didn't know much about what it meant to go to a service academy. You know, we have that in common. But by doing that, you know, and really going through that training and then getting to the point where I could live out a dream, which was to be a pilot, was just incredible. And then you get to serve with amazing people, you know, and you get to really understand what it means to lead, to be in an organization that's not about you. Yeah. It's about a team. It's about a country. It's about, you know, an idea. Incredible. And it wasn't 20, it was 19 and a half active duty years.
Okay.
Which is an important distinction because we transitioned to this at 19 and a half years, which was unknown to us, to my wife and I, and something that you know, was kind of a journey in faith.
Wow. And during your time, you also deployed to, I believe, northern Iraq, Syria. Can you talk a little bit about your experiences downrange? Were there any moments in particular that you feel like had a major impact on you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was selected to be a squadron commander, and they sent me to a unit in the Middle East that was actually at a base we didn't disclose the bases at that time. We do now, but Al-Dhafra in the UAE. And I had the opportunity to command literally hundreds of airmen where we ran the airfield, we ran the weapons operation, which was the planning for all of the things that were going on. At that time, this was 2016 to 2017, the height of the ISIS war, a coalition of literally 70, 80, 90 countries that were coming together to fight ISIS, that was a horrible terrorist group that was in Iraq, in Syria. And in addition to being able to lead airmen in a variety of different ways that were even outside of the normal duties for a fighter pilot, I also flew combat missions, which, you know, leadership in the air is different than it is on the ground. But what a rewarding time to be able to come together with other nations, with our joint partners, the Army and the Marines, the Navy, and to be able to do something that when you stand up for freedom, this was, I think, and will always be regarded as an effort where we were protecting innocent people that we'll never know. You know, we will literally probably know. No one will ever get the chance to know these folks in Iraq and Syria that were being terrorized by ISIS. But that shining beacon on the hill does mean something.
Yeah.
And this was an example for me personally in my career where it was very rewarding.
Amazing, amazing. And so coming back, so you know, you get back home and that your hometown of Texas and in Texas and coming back, deciding to serve here in Congress, what was that decision making like and how did that develop for you?
You know, I grew up in a great area. I'm one that people serve all the time, whether it was military or just in the community, they're always giving back. And so I learned that at an early age. And this was, you know, we like to say in the military that luck and timing are more important than just being good. And that has certainly been the case in my career. We, again, didn't plan to do this. I was always interested in this kind of public service, but the seat became an open seat. The member who had been there for 16 years, chairman of several committees, decided to retire. And so went forward on a faith journey that this was another way to serve. And it is awesome to be able to represent the area that I grew up in, that my family and extended family still live in, to know the values, and to be able to now come to Congress and stand up for, I think, what is one of the most incredible districts in the entire country. We have agriculture, we have energy, we've got several military bases, and just the values of the people there. It's very rewarding.
Yeah, and congratulations to you. You recently were elected as chair of the House Republican Study Committee. And I know that you've had quite a few priorities that you've been pushing there. One I wanted to talk about in particular is the ACEs Act that you recently introduced. Can you talk a little bit about what that's all about and for folks at home, why they should keep an eye out for that?
Well, thank you. The Republican Study Committee, it's great to be. Before I talk about ACEs, 189 members, the largest organization in Congress. It is a policy-focused organization where we talk about the issues at hand and how do we govern with those issues? How do we translate those into legislation? The ACEs Act is one of those issues. And I'll tell you, unfortunately, in the aviation community, I've known way too many men and women in their 30s and 40s who have gotten cancer. And there were studies done by the DOD that said, yes, we know that there is a higher correlation between certain types of cancer rates for those who are in aviation, pilots specifically, but also air crew members. So now the next step is taking that information and getting the VA to expand the study and to really start determining causation. And that's what the ACEs Act does. So I'm proud to say that it's going to come to the House floor for a vote. And we've really moved quickly. I have several friends that are unfortunately battling cancer right now. And more people have reached out to me and our Mach 1 caucus of aviators here in Congress that have experienced this. So this is the right thing to do because these pilots and air crew are putting their lives at risk, but we're also being exposed to different things that we may not even know or didn't know at the time, and that has led to higher rates of cancer. We need to take care of our veterans, and their long-term health is critical. That's why I'm leading on this issue, to help take care of the people that are literally willing to fight and give their lives for us, for our country.
And I appreciate your leadership on the veterans issues, national security issues. I mean, you have just really led the way. And we could talk for hours about all the work you've done in interview commerce. I mean, you've done so much. And I'm thankful for someone like you in leadership. Every episode of our show, one thing we love to do is to highlight a challenge coin that might have been given to you by someone to have some special meaning. We'd love to see what if there's a one coin you could choose. I know you've got quite a few here.
A whole drawer full, but this one is kind of neat. When you look at this, I actually got the chance to design this. It was an F-22 squadron that we started up at a new base. And the history of the 7th and the 8th fighter squadrons, the Screaming Demons and the Black Sheep, which were historical World War II squadrons, they had been deactivated. And then they came back and we brought the F-22 to them. And it was really a neat opportunity. But I love the challenge coin tradition. Now everybody does it. And it really has been. You know, the history of the challenge coins goes back to World War I and the fighter pilots who used it to identify their units and carried it as a source of identification, especially for those that were unlucky and had to, you know, maybe serve in another country's POW status. So, thanks for bringing this up. It's a neat tradition.
Absolutely. Well, always an honor having you. As we close, for any person at home who's thinking about maybe considering joining the military, I'm thankful that with President Trump in office, we've seen a lot of those recruitment numbers come back up. What is your message as we close for those at home who are thinking about serving?
It's a great question. First off, thank you for your service. Thank you for leading an organization that highlights that. And I think my message is this. This generation didn't unfortunately get a chance, the young generation that's graduating high school. They weren't alive to really see too many grandparents or great-grandparents that served in World War II, the greatest generation, like we did, you know. And also, they weren't they don't have a memory, a living memory of 9/11, which was a huge moment in service in our country. So the opportunity to do something that is greater than yourself is so rewarding, and it leads you on a path for the rest of your life that truly puts you into a different mindset. And I would just encourage people that, you know, just think about serving, because when you take that step, then everything else kind of, the priorities fall into an order that really puts our country and the needs of our country first, instead of any other categories that we are the greatest country on earth, almost 250 years worth. So think about signing up in the next year when you can say, I served when our country was 250 years old.
That is a good point. That's exactly right. Well, thank you so much, Congressman. It's always an honor and great to have you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Here at Veterans on Duty, we are a policy advocacy organization focused on making sure our military is strong, lethal, and focused. All of that, of course, is about making sure America is safe, strong, and free. Those are the values that we hold dear, Vets on Duty, and that's why we're going to be sitting down with different leaders, veterans, policymakers, even some elected officials in our Beyond the Call video series. Stay tuned and join us.